The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day featuring episode 133 with Derek Boone. Derek Boone, at this time, had upwards of 50 different units. And so what's so dope about his story was that he was able to start with, of course, one. And he calls himself the one-stop shop for real estate gut-out renovations. And so let's get into Derek's story. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day feature. Let's get into it.
Talk about that turning point where you're like, you know what? This is cool. I'm making money doing this, but it's time to start taking investing a little more seriously.
Yeah. So I had that turning point. I'm going to be honest with you. The turning point was for me was being a realtor never was a full heart. So just to be transparent with you, I went to a class. I owned a single family house, a two bed, one bath house, right? And I went to a class to how to buy multifamilies. And I just saw just the little bit of knowledge I had. This was in 2016 that said, once you buy single families, the next house is to go multifamily, right? So somebody was having a class saying how to buy multifamily properties. So I went to the class, learned some game. And then the actual person that was teaching the class will end up becoming a mentor of mine. He said, yo, you sound like you know a lot. I was like, yeah, I read a lot, watch a lot, and I'm here. And he just was like, no, I just like, you got this vibe about you. I think you'll be good with sales. And I'm like, well, I've been selling stuff my whole life. I'm always been an entrepreneur. So like, of course. And he's just like, no, I really think this might be a lane for you. So he said, you should get your real estate license. And I was like, class is $300 each. It was $600. So I did it. That was easy. It took 2 months. It was a month and a month or like 45 days and 45 days. So that was nothing. The problem was I failed my test 9 times. So at this point, you have to keep going because I'm competitive. And yeah. I said, you know what? I have to, once I got my license finally, I said, I have to sell houses because this is like, I can't give up now. I already went through all of this. But the moral of that whole story was I never really wanted, if you listen to what I said, I always wanted to be an investor. That's the reason I wanted to, I just let somebody smooth talk me into getting my license, which turned out to be one of the best things in my life. So after selling a bunch of houses, that's when I said, you know what, let me go back to my roots. What I really done this for was to be an investor. So that's when I kind of had that. I made a bunch of money as a realtor. And I said, you know what, I got enough income now and money saved to where I can take this pivot and, you know, do the investing thing. And then as far as the wholesale thing go, I had, wearing suits and everything, we started getting a little tiring. And this guy made double the money I made in basketball shirts. I was like, wait, so I don't got to wear a suit anymore? And you made more money than me? And I don't have to show houses? I said, all right, nothing else to talk about.
Definitely. I love it. So you went from realtor to wholesaler and then taking investing more seriously, right?
Yes, sir.
Got it. Do you think wholesaling helped you to find, like, get good at finding deals?
Yes. Wholesaler is sometimes downplayed amongst in the investing world, but there are the good wholesalers are some of the smartest, amazing individuals there are. Why do I say that? Is because it's so hard to make sure everybody wins. Think about that. I have to make sure the homeowner wins. I have to make sure you win. I have to make sure I win. Every party included in this transaction has to win. Not only we're talking with the title company, sometimes we're even talking to the buyer's lender, you know, dealing with a new buyer. They don't know how to work with hard money. Now I'm talking to their lender. So at this point, for our $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, even more $1,000 assignment fee, we're making sure everybody across the board is going to win. So I feel as though that, you know, being a wholesaler, like you're learning numbers on a whole nother level because you have to make sure everybody is getting a piece so they sign these contracts. Not to mention, it's very, very, I don't say difficult, but it's very, very strategic to find off-market properties at a deep discount rate. Like, think about that. Like, I'm trying to get, I'm really finding properties, digging down, getting their contact information, following up with this homeowner over, like, it's some work, like, you know, so I definitely feel as though, like, digging in and getting, developing those skills make turns you into a monster.
Definitely, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, as you said, like, people just, I don't know, some people just have a weird thing about wholesaler, but it's like, those who are actually good, one, could add a lot of value to you as an investor, as a flipper, whoever you are, like, if you have a good wholesaler in your back pocket, you know, that could help tremendously. And if a wholesaler themselves, like that skill set is always going to benefit you no matter when you pivot. So I'm glad you brought that up.
No doubt. It's the truth. It's a fact.
Definitely. So take us to the point where you're like, all right, did the realtor thing, did the wholesaler thing. Now it's time to invest. Like, how did you start? Like, what did you buy? Like, how did you approach it at that point?
So it's so funny, right? I owned two small properties already. Me and my cousin had a property together, which I bought him out. And then my grandma, she moved to Florida. It was ridiculous, but my grandpa's lifelong dream was to move to Florida. As soon as he retired, they gave him a lump sum $50,000 check. He took that $50,000, put it on a down payment house down in Florida, and put himself in a mortgage. Why? I don't know. And of course, my grandma goes down there with them. They go down there with no money because the lump sum they got, they put it for a house and got a house built from the ground up, all this type of stuff. Wow. And my grandma said, "Yo, look, I had this house. I really want to give it to you, but I just can't." So she sold it to me for like $12,000. So I got that offer. So I had them too. But I don't want to say those houses didn't count. Like, me and my cousin had got this house together, and then I got that off of her. These two small houses, I don't want to say that didn't count because they definitely, maybe we talk about this later on, but they definitely helped pivot me because I leveraged those to go ahead and make power moves. But also, like, I didn't know what I was doing. It just was like opportunity. I jumped on it and called it the day. But long story short, the real estate investing, when I took it very, very serious, I was actually looking for a deal because I was watching one of my good friends, I think you interviewed him, Tyreek. Yeah. I'm watching him, you know, buy houses and do things. And I'm selling some of his houses. I'm wholesaling them deals. And I'm as a realtor, I'm selling some of his deals. So I'm watching him, you know, build wealth, like real wealth. And I'm just like, nah, man, like, I gotta jump in on this side of the field. So what I did was I started looking for deals. And I kept trying to get deals under contract, which I was. And then he was like, "Yo, man, you got this done a contract. You need to off that. Don't keep it. That's not enough you want to keep." So I was getting so frustrated. And then he had went ahead and me and him partnered and bought this multifamily building. It was a commercial mixed-use building together. And once I got that, we bought the building together. I had to put up like $30,000, put that together. And that kind of was like, so here's the thing. It's one thing to spend $10,000, $12,000 on a cheap house. Once you start spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, up to $100,000 on something, it's like, either does two things. It scares the crap out of you, you never want to do it again, or you got that taste in your mouth. You're like, I just spent something on an asset. Like, I'm addicted now. And it was a wrap after that. That was like, It hit a switch in my brain. It's like they say, if you get punched in the face, it's either going to make you back up or you're going to keep moving forward. And it just kind of like, I like spending money on this stuff versus this other BS. And it was a wrap after that. So a lot of people see my real estate career and they're like, oh, you've been in real estate since 2017. I didn't really start buying houses really until like a couple years ago. Like 2019 is when I really started buying houses. 2020 paying, like that's when I really started like digging into it. So that's how it worked.
Love it. Love it. I'm glad that we're unpacking just the turning point and just what was happening around you and in your mind. And I think it's just so dope that Tariq was, you saw him and you were like, you know, supporting him and things like that. And you caught on to it. You're like, yo, I need to get into this too. I need to catch the wave. So I think that's amazing. And talk to us about that acquisition with the multi-use. Like what ended up happening with that? Did it need a lot of work? Was it moving ready? Like talk to us a little more about that first transaction after the turning point.
Yeah. So with that property with Tariq and I, it's so funny because, and this is the thing about, and I'm being transparent with you guys, the thing about with real estate, you know, buying real estate is never a bad idea. Sometimes things happen in real estate. So that was a full gut rehab. 98% of the projects I do is a full gut. Like we're tearing in a front wall. We're tearing all the joists out. Like I show some of my projects to people and they're like, whoa, like it's 10% away from new construction. It's called existing construction, new construction. So it's basically ground up development. But we tore down the front wall. We took all the joists, reframed everything out, and we had a little issue with the city. So then we had got put on hold. So that was like, and that's how I knew I loved this because you got 30,000 tied up that you thought you were going to get back in this amount of time. And it didn't happen like that. But like I said, when things happen, you get punched in the face, it's either going to make you sit down or run away, or it's going to make you move forward. That made me move forward and it didn't scare me. Of course, you're like, dang, I thought I was going to get that money back. But it's like, no, it's sitting inside of an asset that's worth 10x, 20x, literally 20x worth than what I put into it. So that's how that was. And it kind of like, you know, pivoted me to keep going and doing more. But just to answer your question, that was a fully gut, like a full gut. Like we tore down the front wall, rebuilt it back up, took everything out, and it needed like a full everything in that property.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.